can the United States do to force the Burmese military to reverse their actions? It's going to be a difficult question.
Protests continue in Myanmar. It's Tuesday, February 9th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghan women get the word out, impeachment politics, films about women by women. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Tens of thousands of people in Myanmar continue to take to the streets to protest a military coup and call for the release of the country's democratically elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
Large protests took place in cities like Yangon, Nay Pyi Taw, and Mandalay in the wake of last week's military coup. Aung San Main is a protest leader.
A military coup is the violation of our democracy and human rights. It also insults the will of the people. That's why we are against a military coup. It's important to honor the election result. That's why we come here staging protests.
The protests follow a week in which the military claimed election fraud, arrested members of the government elected in November, and cut off access to the internet. Internet service was reported to have been restored Sunday. Protesters showing the three-fingered salute, a symbol against the coup, demanded the release of de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi. They wore red in solidarity with Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party, or NLD. The military coup has been condemned by U.S. President Joe Biden and other world leaders who have called for the elected government to be restored to power. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
The coup caught the Biden administration off guard. Myanmar was not at the top of his priorities as the new president took office, but quickly moved up last week. Yun Sun, senior fellow and co-director of the East Asia Program and director of the China Program at the Stimson Center, spoke with VOA's Adriana Zhang about possible U.S. action.
I think the most fundamental challenge is that, well, Biden will have to have a response, and that response needs to be an effective one. So what can the United States do to force the Burmese military to reverse their actions is going to be an important question, but also a difficult question. And on a different level, if we look at Biden's presidency and Biden's priority, I would say that before the coup, Myanmar is not a priority. Then Myanmar is probably not even a top 10 priority coming to the issue to Biden's foreign policy. Maybe in Asia, potentially, but Asia also has a lot of other glaring issues that demand Biden's attention. And remember, there's also the Congress, because the Congress is not going to tolerate a coup in Myanmar after 10 years of democratic process or democratization process. So what we're likely to see is that there will be mounting pressure from the Congress for the Biden administration to take decisive but also harsh measures to punish the military government, to punish the Burmese military for their actions. But then there's also the counter argument that if you reimpose all the sanctions that you can reimpose, then the military government will have nothing more to lose. Then you will lose the leverage to force them to change their calculations.
What kind of actions do you think the U.S. will take? Because in the past, U.S. sanctioned the Myanmar military chief for what happened to Rohingya Muslims. So do you think the U.S. will impose more sanctions?
Well, the question is, impose more sanctions on whom? The Rohingya-related sanction was targeted at Burmese military. But now, if the military has already taken over the country, do you sanction the whole country, right? So we know that the military is now in charge, and the Burmese are probably exporting. They're having trade with the United States. They're exporting, for example, agricultural products or gem or the Burmese jade or the Burmese gem products. And now we know that the military is in charge and the revenue will be going to the military government. Do we still allow those trades to happen? Another industry that has been developing in Myanmar in the past 10 years is textile and garment industry. And that hires a lot of Burmese people. But now we know that the military is in charge and the military will be harvesting the revenue and profits from those industries. Do we still accept Burmese garment and textile to come into American market? If we don't, which makes sense, that we want to punish the military, but at the same time, if we don't, we're also punishing Burmese people who are not responsible for this coup. So this gets into the morality question of sanctions, that are we punishing the government or are we punishing the people at the same time as well? And which one is more important?
Yun Sun, senior fellow and co-director of the East Asia Program and director of the China Program at the Stimson Center in Washington. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. At least 18 dead in northern India after Himalayan glacier burst. China charges Chinese-Australian journalist with supplying state secrets. Thousands protest nationwide against Myanmar junta for third day. Australians to receive vaccination certificates in mass inoculation program. Asian markets surge as hopes rise on passage of massive U.S. economic stimulus bill. There's expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and our website at voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson. A weekly newspaper run by a team of female journalists is thriving in northern Afghanistan despite threats against journalists in parts of the country. Gurahim Niazman from VOA's Afghan service has more in the report, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
In Mazar-e-Sharif, the capital of Balkh province in Afghanistan's north, the weekly Khurshid Balkh, or Balkh's Sun, covers local and regional news. The outlet run by all women shows they can work freely and without assistance, says founder and managing editor Nida Azizi.
I set up this weekly newspaper using my own money and continue to do so at personal expense. If there are any advertisements, that helps me with some of the costs.
Azizi works with two other female journalists. Together, they shatter cultural stereotypes of what a woman's role should be and still report despite a spike in attacks against media. 2020 saw a 26% rise in violence against members of the media, says the Afghan Journalist Safety Committee. The paper is growing more popularity, although Azizi says it can be hard to get people to pay for it.
I saw three or four places where they wanted to receive the weekly on a regular basis, but when we mentioned the financial cost, they did not want to buy the weekly. People want to read, but don't want to pay to read.
Good opportunities exist for women in this province, says Mathil Rahman Karimi, the province's director of cultural and information.
Balkh is one of the provinces where women have the opportunity to work in various fields, especially in media, where most of the employees of the public and private media organizations are women.
In Balkh, the province has one weekly newspaper and three radio stations run by female journalists. The number of females working in TV and radio is also relatively high. Rights activists say this helps elevate the voices of all women in the region.
What women face, what women go through, and the violence they face, men don't. That is why it is crucial for women to play an important and valuable role in media.
Despite security threats and cultural challenges, the journalists at Balkh Sun say they will continue to report on important and underreported issues. For Gulrahim Niazman in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, a chartered flight carrying the first shipment of doses of China's Sinopharm COVID-19 vaccine arrived in Cambodia. The shipment was personally received by Prime Minister Hun Sen at the Phnom Penh International Airport. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us on another very busy week here at VOA Asia. Democrats and Republicans in the United States are laying out their strategies ahead of the start of the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. VOA's Steve Reddish explains what is behind the arguments for both sides.
Last month's attack on the U.S. Capitol prompted the House of Representatives, led by Democrats with the support of 10 Republicans, to impeach then-President Donald Trump for an unprecedented second time. House Democrats, who will prosecute the case before the jury of U.S. senators, say Trump incited the attack that killed five people, including a Capitol Police officer. And they will use Trump's own words and video from the riot to try to sway the jury.
In terms of the strategy that the Democratic Party is using, which is to say, you know, this guy is a threat. He is still a threat. He is currently a threat. He was a threat. The insurrection is a result of his violent incitement rhetoric.
Jennifer Murcia is a professor of American political rhetoric at Texas A&M University.
So if they can activate people's memories of the event and they can, sort of remind them of the fear that they felt and reactivate that fight or flight response, they might find that they're able to persuade, you know, even beyond the partisanship.
With the 100-member Senate evenly split, Democrats need 17 Republicans to join them to vote to convict former President Trump. But the word former is at the crux of the Republican strategy. Republicans lost a vote on the trial's constitutionality, but the 55-45 vote leaves Democrats well shy of the 67 votes needed. House Democrats formally requested that Trump testify at his impeachment trial set to start Tuesday. When asked if he will testify, lawyers for the former president said no. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
In the realm of film, the year 2021 seems to be the year of women. Dozens of acclaimed films and TV series by female directors pondering a woman's complex world are being released every week. Many are already Oscar contenders. Our own female critic, VOA's Penelope Palou, looks at a few examples.
Whisper something. Promising Young Woman, a dark comedy by director Emerald Fennell, follows 30-year-old Cassie, a once-promising medical student, on a mission.
Every week, I go to a club. I act like I'm too drunk to stand. And every week, a nice guy comes over to see if I'm okay.
You okay?
You are so pretty.
Pretending she's drunk and helpless, Cassie lures sexual predators and punishes them. It's payback for the death of her best friend, a victim of sexual assault who killed herself in college 10 years ago.
10 years later, and she's still living very much in the center of the trauma of what happened to her, but she's trying to find a way through it. And her way through it is to sort of one by one correct injustices.
The film is receiving buzz for Oscar nominations.
Sophie.
Losing Alice by Israeli-American director Sigal Avin is a dark Israeli TV series on the power dynamic between two women. Alice, played by Israeli actress Ayelet Zurer, is a 40-something filmmaker juggling life as an artist, a mother, and a wife. Sophie, a young, intense scriptwriter and actress, is brimming with creativity and unbridled ambition. The two women meet on a train and start a partnership. Alice will direct Sophie's script, an erotic psychological thriller, with Alice's famous husband as the lead actor. Actress Ayelet Zurer says this sexual triangle runs more like an existential story about the price female artists are willing to pay for creativity and success, about the power play between older and younger women, and about women's unapologetic goal to have it all. The series is streaming in over 100 countries.
Wow. What you, baby, I got.
Oscar-winning actress and Grammy-winning singer Jennifer Hudson brings Aretha Franklin on the large screen in Lizzle Tommy's biopic called Respect. The film follows the rise of the Queen of Soul from her childhood as a choir singer to her international superstardom. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you back for more VOA Asia at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, you can follow us online. We're at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.